الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، the crime of lying. The Shaykh, may Allah preserve him, began the khutbah by quoting some verses or some ayat, some miraculous signs, better translation, from the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. The first ayah he quoted is that Allah said, and He does not utter a single word except that there is an angel close and recording. In another ayah Allah said, verily, the only ones who fabricate and forge lies against Allah are those who do not believe in the ayat of Allah, and it is those who are the liars. In another ayah Allah said, verily, those who fabricate lies against Allah shall never be successful. And Allah Azza wa Jal also says, woe to every affak and athim. Affak is someone who fabricates lies. Athim is a sinful person, from ithim, extremely sinful. Furthermore, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, upon you is truthfulness. Upon you is truthfulness. Since truthfulness leads to piety, and piety leads to paradise. And a man, will continue to say the truth and strive to be truthful until he is written with Allah as a Siddiq, someone who is totally truthful. On the other hand, the Prophet ﷺ continued to say, and woe to you from lying, because lying leads to defiant disobedience. It leads to fujur, excessive disobedience. And fujur will lead someone to the hellfire. And a person, a man, will lie and continue to strive to lie until he is written with Allah as a liar. That means that one of us can be walking upon earth, but with Allah he is called a kazzab, someone who is a liar, who has the quality of continuously and constantly lying. And there will be much elaboration on that point in the coming narrations. Again, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there are four qualities. Whoever has them all is a complete and total hypocrite. He's a pure hypocrite. And whoever possesses some of them, then he possesses a quality of hypocrisy until he rids himself from that quality. Then he mentioned four things. The first one, if he is entrusted with something, he will betray. If he is entrusted with something, he will betray. Secondly, if he speaks, he lies. Thirdly, if he gives a covenant, he acts treacherously. If he's given a covenant, if there's a covenant between you and him, he will act treacherously. He will change the plan. First, you had an agreement on some, let's say, business-wise percentage, and then, you know, you start making money or something, say, okay, I don't like this anymore. Okay, let's just change it around. You know, this treachery. It's a form of treachery, wal-iyadu billah. And lastly, if he argues with someone, he acts obnoxiously. You know, you get in an argument with him, and his behavior is not sound. I'll give you an example that happened to me. Usually, I try my best, to the best of my ability, with my shortcomings, that to enjoin what is good and forbid what is evil. And if I see someone smoking, if I'm unable to stop and have a discussion with them on the prohibition of smoking, I try to gesture with my hand, something from a distance. If I'm in a car and they're in a car, I go like this. Why? You know, it's no good. Just something. And there was a person standing in front of a shop, smoking. As soon as I gestured with my hand, you know, like, why are you smoking? He started to scream and yell, and you know, he made a big fitna. I didn't even say a word. I'm in my car with my window rolled up. I just made a gesture with the smoke. I was about to tell him, why are you doing this to yourself? And he made a big deal. Big deal. This is a quality of hypocrisy. You know, you get into argumentation and they blow things out of proportion. It's like as if some people you cannot advise them. As soon as you advise them, they retaliate with vengeance and with fierceness. This is from the quality of hypocrisy. What a Muslim should do, when someone advises you, you say Jazakallahu khairan. Either you have evidence that what you are doing is correct, so you say, Ma'alish brother, this is your opinion, I follow another opinion. Or you have to accept the truth. Say, thank you for bringing this to my attention, I didn't know. But to argue and say no, and who are you to advise me, how old are you, I'm older than you, all this nonsense, arrogance. And this person is not from those who will enter Jannah per the hadith, because he has a quality of arrogance. And the Prophet ﷺ said that whoever has a grain of mustard, the weight of a grain of mustard of arrogance, shall not enter Jannah. And arrogance is what? Rejecting the truth and belittling people. Alaykum salam. Rejecting the truth and belittling people. Some people don't like to be advised. Now the Shaykh defined kathib. What is lying? He said lying is informing about something in opposition to the truth. To say something in opposition to the reality or the truth with intent and knowledge. Because someone may lie without knowing, with lack of knowledge, or someone may lie unintentionally. So for you to be considered a liar, you must have knowledge about what you're saying, you must be intentional in your statement, and then you must be saying something which is not in agreement with facts, something that is in opposition to facts. Allah Azza wa Jal says, and the Shaykh said, and this quality is among the major sins. It's among the major sins we seek Allah's refuge, which will land its doer in the hellfire, and he will be deprived of the mercy of Allah. Allah says, قُتِلَ الْخَرَّاصُونَ. قُتِلَ, from the word قَتِل, meaning killed. And the ulama say that this is Allah Azza wa Jal saying, may they be destroyed. Allah is saying that they will be destroyed, they will be killed, they will be cursed. The خَرَّاصُونَ are the liars, those who lie. He said, O Muslims, there are many matters or issues that the people do not consider to be lies, even though they are lies. People take it easy about it. It's not a big deal. This is not an issue. It's not lies. However, these are lies, as per the definition of the legal teachings of Islam. And he will enumerate them, one after the other. The first one is lying against Allah and against the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How do you lie against Allah? By not holding firm to the teaching of Tawheed. By negating that Allah is the only one who deserves to be worshipped. By saying that Mawlana such and such Badawi or Abdul Qadir al-Jilani, he's Al-Qutub al-A'zam. You know, he can help run the affairs of the dunya. If you go to him at the time of need, he's involved in, you know, arranging your affairs and facilitating and answering your dua. This is lying against Allah. Because Allah says in the Quran, وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. The places of worship, masajid is any place you put your head on for prostration. It could be the masjid, it could be outside. They all belong to Allah. And don't call upon anyone with Allah. Anyone. Not the Prophet ﷺ, and not anyone who is lesser than him alayhi salatu wasalam. Lying against the Messenger, or another form of lying against Allah, is by someone claiming to have done tawbah when they have really not done any tawbah. They say, I repent to Allah, and Allah knows that they are lying, they have not repented, they continue to do the same sin. Lying against the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will land someone in the hellfire. He said alayhi salatu wasalam, whoever lies against me intentionally, then let him choose his seat in the hellfire. And the ulama say what that means, meaning he is guaranteed a place in the hellfire. How is this done today? With weak and fabricated narrations. Weak and fabricated narrations. A hadith which is not sahih. It's not in Bukhari, it's not in Muslim. It could be in any of the other books of Sunan, like Abu Dawood and An-Nasa'i and At-Tirmidhi. However, the chain of narrators is inauthentic. And sometimes the narrations people bring don't belong to any of these books. They just bring them from nowhere. Someone will fabricate a hadith. And how do we fall guilty of that? By sharing these hadith with people without verification. And this happens nowadays in the email business, in the email world. Every time you get something, forward. This is very common. People have a signature now. A signature at the end of the email which will take someone to Jahannam. It says at the end of the hadith, Allah says, if you are ashamed of me in front of your friends, I will be ashamed of you on the day of judgment. Where does Allah say that? Where? Which ayah of the book of Allah? Which hadith Qudsi? Where the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah said. Nowhere. But they will say, Allah said. And another one, they say, the Messenger of Allah said. If you don't, you know, if you don't defend me, then I will, you know, no Jannah for you. Narrations that have no basis. They wonder about the masjid where the Prophet ﷺ, you know, someone saw him in his dream. This guy, his name is Sheikh Ahmed. He saw him in his dream and he told him, help, some people tried to dig my grave, blah, blah, blah. Fabricated narrations. All these are fabricated stories, fabricated narrations. Similarly, people when they hear the Messenger of Allah, they kiss their thumbs and they go rub their eyes. Where did this come from? From which deen? Not from the deen of Islam. La wallah, not from the deen of Islam. And I challenge anyone who does this action to find me a single evidence, even if it's fabricated. Even if it's a hadith mawdu' about the issue of kissing the thumbs and rubbing the eyes, you will find no basis for that in the deen of Islam. Zero. Ya Qawi, Ya Qawi, Ya Qawi, Ya Qawi is in the same lines. These things, people learn from someone, someone learn from someone, and because this someone is elderly and respected, so we must do it. So it's the sunnah of someone, not the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah. If you look in the sunnah, you will not find it. And the evidence is, find someone who does it, ask him. Say, Akhi, in which hadith did you read this? You will never, ever, ever find someone giving you a single reference. He will say, I learned this from such and such person. Where did he get it from? Can you get me a hadith? And you can wait for 3-4 years, you will never get a hadith. These are all actions of people, not from the deen of Islam. People shaking hands after the salah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Taqabbal Allah, akhi, taqabbal Allah. The sahaba never did this. They prayed with the Messenger of Allah 23 years. They prayed so many times. Not once, we have not a single narration, people doing that. These are innovations. It's shocking to you because everyone does them. And you know, usually when you come against everyone, you will lose. But we should favor the deen of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If we're able to prove it, all of us will have to do it. But if we're unable to prove it, then are we practicing a deen other than that of the Messenger of Allah? Are we better guided than the Sahaba? If something they never did, could we be better than them and do something that they didn't do? It's very logical. But we have to realize that Islam has been bombarded by a wave of traditionalism, tradition, culture. Every group of Muslims, depending on the country they come from, they have a special way of practicing Islam. And when you tell the people, Ya Akhi, this is not from Islam, he says, brother, back home, this is how we do it. Every Muslim will say, Wallah, in my country, Akhi, this is how we do it. What do you mean in your country? Islam is a religion of a country. Islam is a universal religion. All of us, we have to abide by Islam. Not Islam according to my country. In my country, Islam is great, you know, worshipping dead people in the grave. In the Middle East, if you go to Lebanon, Syria, this is very common, like in India and other places. So what? Wallah, because people worship dead people, so I should worship dead people too. This is how people practice Islam in the Middle East. Doesn't make any sense. We have been given revelation, it suffices us from anything else. So be careful against lying against the Messenger of Allah. If you don't know who narrated the hadith, if you don't have any reference, do not forward, ya akhi. Don't do anything. Delete it. Allah will not hold you accountable, even if they warn you at the end. If you don't send this, Allah will curse you. Your son will die. Unbelievable. Negligence. Usually, you know who makes these emails? Jews and Christians. They send them to the Muslims and they play with us. They watch us just get confused and lost. But if we learn the deen, we will never be in this predicament. Tayyib. Another means of lying is the parents lying to their children. And he quoted the famous narration where the young boy narrated. He said that the Prophet ﷺ came to our house. And my mother, his name is Abdullah ibn Amir. My mother called me, said, come, I want to give you something. He wanted to go out to play with his friends. She said, come, I want to give you something. And she went like this. The Prophet ﷺ said, are you going to give him something? She said, yes, a date. He said, had you told him to come to get something, while not having anything, it would have been written as a lie against you. How often do we do this with our children? Huh? Maybe every day. Come, especially the young kids. Come. come. As soon as the sheikh was, you know, acting it out. As soon as they come, you hold them. What is the thing you gave me? Oh, I was just trying to trick you. This is a lie. This is a lie. Whether it is done to the very young or those who are older. You know, if you get, you know, if you pass the exams, I will buy you a toy. They pass the exams, no toy comes. What happened? This is a lie. Say, I was just trying to encourage you to, so you can, you know, study hard. Doesn't work. So even that little lie, the woman is just telling her son, come. If she didn't have a date in her hand for her promise, the Prophet ﷺ said that she would have been lying against her son, and Allah would have written this as a lie against her. See how dangerous this is? People don't consider this to be a lie today, but it is a lie in the deen of Allah. Plus the children will learn this. This will be ingrained in their minds. And the evidence the Shaykh said is that the young man is the same one narrating the hadith. This happened to him. He said, وَأَنَا صَبِي. I was a young boy. He's older now, narrating the hadith. That shows you that this image was stuck in his mind. Had his mother lied, he would have also remembered that his mother lied to him when he was young. And maybe some of you can you know, remember some things that our parents told us that were never factualized. And until today you remember that. That shows that it leaves a print in one's mind, and we're teaching the children lying one way or another. And both are unacceptable. Another means of lies that the people don't consider to be lie is when someone narrates everything they hear. The Prophet ﷺ said, sufficient for a man as a lie for him to narrate about everything he hears. In the English word they say, he said, she said. And people just, you know, they convey everything that comes to them. Everything, every time they hear something, oh, did you hear this? Did you hear that? But many of this information has not been verified. And Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَئٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا. Oh, you who have believed, if a corrupt person comes to you with news, verify it first. And usually the news come from the most corrupt people, from the news, from the media, or from people who want to spread fitna among the Muslims. So you cannot narrate everything you heard. You cannot narrate. Just the fact that you're doing so will make you fall into lying, whether you recognize it or not. Because the Prophet ﷺ called it كَفَى بِالْمَرْءِ كَذِبًا. Enough, sufficient for him being a liar by narrating everything that he hears. So we hold back on information. We only share that which we are sure is sound and authentic. After being verified, then we can say, and there must be an objective, a benefit from conveying the message, not just for the talking, not for, as they call it in, you know, street language, girgir. People love girgir. Everything, this talk. It could be right, it could be wrong. You could oppress a Muslim in the process. Some people make no distinction between them. And we should be very careful when we speak, making sure that we don't say everything that we hear from the people. And in the email world, it begins with as received. Right? Someone will put just as received. I mean, I received whatever is below, so don't blame me for it. It's the same thing. You're still relaying this information to me. Anyways. طيب, and among the things that the people don't consider to be lies, even though it is lies, it is saying or people lying in order to make the people laugh. And this is one of the worst ones. And we dealt with this in previous khutbah translations. Where someone will lie, not a lame or a real joke, but a lie. They fabricate something in order to make the people laugh. And the Prophet ﷺ said, woe to these people 3 times. Woe to him, the one who tells a lie in order to make the people laugh. Woe to him and woe to him. 3 times. وَيْلٌ like وَيْلٌ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ وَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَّةٍ لُمَزَّةٍ. These are big, big threats from Allah. Woe to him 3 times. And we, in this day and time, as I mentioned before, we have a bunch of comedians who go out in the Muslim world performing on stage, doing comedy in the name of Islam. It's all a bunch of lies. It's all a bunch of lies trying to make the people laugh. So someone, for example, will tell you that I took away your cell phone. He said, you leave your cell phone on the table and you go to the bathroom, and then you come back, you say, oh, by the way, I took your cell phone and I saw the images of your family. You know? And you start panicking. Akhi, what's wrong with you? This is not faith. This is my stuff. Oh, I was just joking. What do you mean you were just joking? This is a lie. This is a lie. You're trying to make the people laugh. The friends, you know, they're having a good time. That this is a funny incident. In fact, you are lying. So we have to be very careful when we joke. Jokes have to be halal. The Prophet ﷺ said that he jokes, mizah. But he only does so in truth. He will say something that is truthful. He will not come up with a lie in order to make the people laugh. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then he said another narration, I will be the companion of in a house in the middle of Jannah for the one who abandons lying even if he is joking. And the Shaykh said, included in that are plays, you know, the play, the soap operas, these, you know, the various episodes, the TV basically programs. Predominantly, there are a bunch of lies. They're based on an inauthentic story, some man-made story, some fiction, and they have all these, you know, events taking place, and it's all a bunch of lies. Even the actor, what is an actor? He's a liar. When you stand there and you claim that your name is Abraham and your name is Ahmed, you know, and you claim that you just hurt your leg and you didn't hurt your leg, and you're acting out a movie, you're lying. Now people say, whoa, it means no, that means everything the people is doing is, you know, they're doing is wrong. We say, akhi, I'm sorry. This is the deen of Allah. This is a form of lying because it negates the truth and is done intentionally with knowledge. So be careful of the children watching these, you know, lies. And of course the cartoon, they are the most professional liars in the world. Actually, every cartoon is based on some lying character who gets his way around, whether it's Tom and Jerry or the Disneyland or other than that. There's always lies, and this is what the children are learning. And then when you come home one day and, you know, they failed in school, but they don't tell you, they say they passed, they lied because they learned it from some cartoon, we never recognized it. So we have to be very careful what we give our children and what kind of information we expose them to. The Shaykh said there are too many to enumerate in a khutbah, but then he will just quickly mention some of them. Among the means of lie, among lying that people don't consider to be lie, is that which is done during trade, buying and selling. And the Prophet ﷺ had spoke about the man who will swear by Allah. Actually, he said a very dangerous narration. It's off the subject, but it's related actually because of this element. He said there are three kinds of individuals whom Allah will not speak to on the Day of Judgment. He will not look at them. He will not purify them. And they will have a severe punishment. I will repeat. Three kinds of people whom Allah will not speak to on the Day of Judgment. He will not look at them. He will not purify them. And they will have a severe punishment. You know who these three are? Number one, the one who wears his garment below his ankles. The one who, and it doesn't mention about arrogance or no arrogance. Once your garment, thawb, sirwal, bantalon, whatever you wear, if it goes below your ankles, you are included in this particular narration. The first one. The second one is the one who does you a favor, then he reminds you of the favor later on. He doesn't do you a favor for the sake of Allah. No. He must remind you. Didn't I do this for you? Remember how I gave you money? Remember how I gave you a ride? Mannan. The one who does you a favor but must remind you that he has so much favors over you. This is the second and the last one. الَّذِي يُنفِقْ أَوْ يُبِيعُ سِلْعَتُهُ بِالْكَذِبِ. The one who sells his product by swearing. Wallah. Wallah brother, this car in the market costs 50,000 riyals. He knows it costs 30. And I'm giving it to you for 40, he says. I'm giving you 10,000 discount. He's actually getting 10,000 riyals over the market price. And he will swear by Allah. These three individuals, Allah will not speak to on the Day of Judgment. He will not look at them. He will not purify them. And they will have a severe punishment. Be careful of all three. Okay? We cannot afford to enter Jahannam because of some garment. Assuming there's a difference of opinion, assuming some of the fuqaha said, brother, I don't have arrogance, I'm a very humble person, my pants do not resemble or symbolize my feelings, the blah blah blah, the whole lecture that people usually give you when you tell them this hadith or other narrations. Ya akhi, assume that you are right. Is it worth it to gamble with Jahannam over some 2 inches of fabric? What do we have to lose if we got the garment above the ankle? You don't have to have it half your leg, just right above the ankle, right above. So you can free yourself from the problem. You can free yourself from, it's not worth it. And the shaitan does not want any one of us to be successful. He's not going to come and say, oh, listen to the guy. He's going to come and say, this is, you know, Wahhabi, extreme. You're okay, miya miya, life is good, you're going straight to Jannah, inshallah. You pray at night, you come to the masjid. Don't worry about these people, they make everything haram, haram, haram. And some of us will believe, say, oh yeah, yeah, sah, sah. Okay, I'll just do it my way. I'll continue to do it my way. We know better than that. We shouldn't be tricked by the shaitan. Keep it real, be a man. You know, women, they're supposed to keep them below the ankles. Men, they're supposed to keep them above the ankles. Be a man and do it. You have nothing to lose, wallah, nothing to lose. And you can actually save money. Because when you buy fabric now, you can buy smaller fabric. Because it doesn't have to be so long. So you got everything to win, nothing to lose. Second kind of lying is people who lie in order to show that they are special and that they are better than others. So someone will claim that he is from such and such family and he is not from such and such family. Another form of lying is when people actually lie, lying accompanied with envy. So he sees someone who is in a respectable position among the people and it doesn't make him happy, he will start to fabricate lies. This nafar ta'ban. No, don't listen to him. This person, I know that he does this and he does that. He will lie against him because he is envious in his heart. That this person has been given what he hasn't been given. And this is again another form of lying. Another form of lying is when it comes to the rights of people in court. And under that is car accidents and disputes. Many people think it's halal to lie. Especially in car accidents. He knows that he was speeding. He knows that he's the one who cut him off. But when the police comes, la wallah. No, I was going straight, man. I was going 60 miles per hour. The guy came and they think it's halal. Because, you know, I'm trying to avoid bigger problems, you know, shurta and all this. Ma fi mushkila. This is not allowed. A real Muslim will say to the policeman, listen, it's my fault. Wallah, it's my fault. I'm the one who did this. By the way, if you do this, people will be shocked today. It happened to someone I know. He went to the policeman and told him, when he was writing the report, it's my fault. The policeman told him, you're the first one in my life that ever came in here and said it was his fault. Because everyone comes, wallah, it's not my fault, it's his fault. Each one swears it's the other one's fault. Yes, yeah. Somebody's fault, it must be somebody's fault. So when you are truthful though, Allah will make ways out for you that you will never imagine. So you think by lying you will get something, la wallah. But when you say the truth, the guy may come and say, listen man, you don't have to fix my car. I will take care of it. You don't know. But if you are truthful, Allah Azza wa Jal will replace you with that which is better. We need to have thiqah and tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so we can get that in return. Another means why people lie or other occasions is whenever someone is in a difficult situation in front of his parents or in front of his teachers, so he will lie as to avoid embarrassment. And this is also haram. If you have done something wrong and you will be embarrassed, Allah al-musta'an. But you cannot lie and say something which is in opposition to the truth. Another means or occasions where people lie is in order to gain the affection of people. And the Shaykh was hinting, but he did not generalize about those who come into the masjid and after the salah is done, someone will get up and he will show you his wounds and he will have a piece of paper from the hospital and he will cry. He said, I'm not generalizing because we cannot. Some of them really have a genuine case and some of them are just con artists. Some of them have more money than all of us in this masjid combined. Because they've been doing this for 10-15 years. And you know, so many people give him money at the door. He leaves with more money than what you make in a month. If you do this on a daily basis, your salary is maybe 10,000 riyals. But not everyone is like that. But some of them are like that. And it's unfortunate, they swear by Allah. They cry and all this, and Allah knows that some of them are lying. But we don't judge them. When you see someone who's been afflicted, what do you say? Alhamdulillah alladhi afani mimma btalaka bihi wa faddalani ala kathiran mimman khalaqa tafdila. When you see someone afflicted, you say, oh, praise is due to Allah who has protected me from that which He did not protect you from, and He has favored me over many of His creation. And say alhamdulillah and you be quiet. You don't think whether he's lying, telling the truth. Allah knows best. You want to give him money, you can. You don't want to give him money, you can. You can also not do so. But don't judge them, even though some of them, a'udhu billah, are not genuine and they use this as means of making money. They're lying. Another occasions where people lie is in order to get rid of other individuals. For example, you want to get money from someone, so you praise them. You know, the big boss, you know that if you praise him, he will give you money. You say, MashaAllah, you know, you are one of the most wonderful managers we've had. And you know, in the depth of your heart, that he is the worst manager that ever was in charge of the business. But you know that there's an increment, there's a salary increase somewhere along the lines. So you say, I just wanted to tell you that you're a wonderful manager. And I really mean this from the bottom of my heart. And inside you're thinking, may Allah replace you with someone else. Okay? This is all lies. And Allah will not accept that. Okay, you're trying to, you know, be nice, but that kind of niceness is not acceptable. Because you're trying to gain something using lying as your means of transportation. Another case is where people lie is the media. The media where they make Islam look bad, they lie against Islam, they bring up people who are midgets, dwarfs, and they put down people who are in high recognition among the Muslims. So they belittle those who deserve to be honored and respected, and they bring up those who are the scums. And this is how they trick the people about the teachings of Islam and the reality of Islam. And last but not least, or before the last, another form of lying is where the parents lie on the children or against the children, but not the young children, even the elderly ones, even those who are older. You know, and they try to do so in order to make them stop playing or stop doing something, and they will use this again as means of lying. This is all unacceptable in Islam. And the last one is when someone claims that I'm trying to reconcile between the people. I'm trying to fix the problems between the people, so they use lying as means. They lie against everything and they claim that this is means of making the society better. All these are unacceptable. Tayyip. Is there an exception to the rule? Yes or no?
Yes.
What are they?
Compromising between husband and wife.
Okay. Second?
Saving others' lives.
Well, okay, we can rephrase it. Thirdly,
wartime.
The Sheikh didn't give examples. I will try to give you examples because I've dealt with this before, just so we can bring the idea closer to mind. Example number one, reconciling between contending brothers. Two people are fighting. How are you allowed to lie in this case? You can go to someone and say, brother, you know he loves you. You know he said many things, many good things about you, even if he didn't. But you know, but when you tell him that he said that about him, it will soften his heart. He say, yeah? Yeah man, he thinks you're a great guy. It's some, you know, problem, shaitan came in, but it's not worth it. So the brother now will be willing to speak to him again. By what? By you saying that he said things which he never said. This is an exception to the rule. You must intend to reconcile between the people though. The intention must be to bring them together, not just for the sake of lying. The second example is during wartime. How does that work? Imagine if, you know, the enemies came to you and said, okay, where are you hiding your weaponry? You say, oh, I can't lie. They're right there in the, you know, stadium. They're like, okay, thank you very much. Wallah, Muslims don't lie. So they go and blow it up. And we lose the war. Why? Well, you know, brother, they asked me where the weaponry was, and I can't lie. I had to tell them. In this case, you must lie. Huh? You don't tell them where it is. Wartime. It doesn't mean, and I was hoping we can elaborate, it doesn't mean we can act treacherously. It doesn't mean we give them a promise and then we betray. This is not allowed. It is not about betraying covenants or being treacherous in covenants. It's about having to deal with war tactics. Things which will expose us and will make us vulnerable, then we do not inform them of that. But we don't act treacherously. We don't tell them, okay, peace between us, then the next day we go attack them. This is haram in Islam. So make sure that we don't misunderstand the concept and we think we can lie against non-Muslims all the time. This is not allowed either. And lastly, a man lying to his wife and a woman lying to her husband. Again, we have to be very careful in understanding this concept. Because some people think, okay, so he has a girlfriend, you know, and he goes out with her all the time. Why? And he doesn't tell his wife. Where were you? I was with the friends hanging out. What? Well, I'm allowed to lie to my wife. I'm not going to tell her I was with my girlfriend. Say, well, a'udhu billah, brother, what are you doing? Some people think they can lie about everything and anything. No. Lying is particular to issues which will cause emotional problems in women. For example, cooking. Some women are horrible cooks. They should just leave cooking alone. But, you know, this, she's your wife. And, you know, she's not going to leave cooking alone. So she makes nasty food. But you know, if you told her that this food is horrible, she will be hurt for a week. She will cry in her room. She will give you a big fit. Now you will never finish. So you can tell her, honey, this food is delicious, wallah. But can we give it sadaqah to the neighbors? Let's give it to the neighbors. I think we eat too much. And make us something else, right? So we will not be eating the same thing. This is lying. But halal lying. But it is in that area. We can't expand it more than that. And the woman lying to her husband, and is in the same manner, you may, some of us, you know, have style, and some of us lack style. So a man may wear something that looks very silly to his wife, and if she, and he's going to work, and he tells his wife, how do I look? She knows if she told him, you look ridiculous, you know, you look like a clown, he will also be hurt. So she tells him, you look nice, but I think the other suit is better for you. This is again lying. For what? For little issues. To make sure that the relationship is harmonious. It doesn't mean we become liars at home. The wife lies to her husband about everything, and the husband lies to his wife about everything. This is big haram. Did the neighbor come over? No, she didn't. But the neighbor did come over. Now you can't lie in that. You cannot turn it into a lying business. So is that clear? I want to make sure we understand, because some people misunderstood this hadith and they became liars. And they said, wallah, the Prophet ﷺ said, I can lie to my wife. No, he didn't say you can do that all the time.
White lie, no?
A white lie. We don't have any, you know, colors in lies. White lie, black lie, yellow, orange. It's all a lie. Even if you dye it with a different color. Now this is a halal joke. Just to give you an example of what a halal joke. Where you joke, I'm not lying. But when you say something else, this is a lie. And then, you know, joking becomes unallowed. Tayyib. Lastly, the Shaykh mentioned that the Prophet ﷺ said, and he gave us the evidence. He said that I do not consider him to be a liar, the one who reconciles between people during wartime, and the man lying to his wife and the woman lying to her husband, or the man speaking to his wife and the woman speaking to her husband. Then he said at the end of the khutbah, brothers in faith, it is possible that the believer will fall into a major sin when he's not careful about what he says with his tongue. The Prophet ﷺ said that the believer may have any quality except two, khiyana, treacherously or acting treacherously, and lying. In another hadith, he was asked, can a Muslim fornicate? He said yes. Said, can he do this? He said yes. Can he lie? He said no. A believer, a true believer, cannot truly lie. He cannot lie except with the exceptions that were given earlier. And he said, lying is means to destroy the individual and the community. Lying will take someone to the hellfire. Lying is like a mirage. You know when you're driving on the freeway and you see what appears to be water, and then when you get there, there's nothing? He said, lying is like that. It brings close that which is far, and it puts away that which is near. Because it's against the reality and against the truth. Very good example, mashallah. Lying will take away, you know, respect and beauty. Lying will actually bring about corruption in the deen and the dunya. And lying is an indication that the person is lowly. He has a lowly character. He's not a real individual with good, praiseworthy characters. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to rectify our character and our manners, and to you know, provide us from abundance of sustenance, and to make us die with the righteous deeds. Wa akhiru da'wan alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Jazakumullahu khairan.